Mr. President, you almost caused a nuclear war. What are you going to do next?
PID Radio. I'm Derek Gilbert.
And I'm Sharon Gilbert, everybody, and welcome to the Bunker and Friday's Grumble.
That's right. We're ready to grumble. We've saved up ranting all week as we go to press here on April 28th of 2006.
I've practiced ranting all week. I've stood in front of the mirror and I've gone, oh, I'm so mad. I'm so... I can't seem to get up a good enough...
I'm out of my mind with rage.
For those of you who have never seen the movie Signs.
Yeah, that was a great scene. Well, we got a bunch of things to talk about, and we're just going to dive right in. First, I'd like to start out with just a quick note about Susan Lindauer, whose case we've been talking about this week with Jay Fields, who is the tenant, the basement tenant of her home in Tacoma Park, Maryland. He posted a note to his blog today. He's got a blog called jayspolitics.blogspot.com. I'll put a link in the show notes. There's also a link in the show notes from the last couple of nights. But apparently a witness for Susan has stepped forward, and Jay spoke with him, according to his blog, by telephone, a gentleman named Ian Ferguson, perhaps a distant cousin.
No, probably. Yeah.
So he is a journalist in Europe who's covered terrorism for a couple of decades, a guy who knows his way around the field, apparently. And he said that he saw Susan, or it sounds like, according to Jay, he saw Susan in meetings with known agents of the CIA and the DIA, Defense Intelligence Agency, who identified themselves as such during the Lockerbie proceedings, the case involving Pan Am Flight 103.
That's what she's been alleging. And, of course, the judge said, oh, no, she's like that guy in that movie.
Exactly. She's claiming that she's having meetings with intelligence types, and then she's acting on behalf of intelligence while she's making these contacts with Iraqi intelligence agents in New York and being really secretive about it by sending letters telling her cousin Andy Card, the president's chief of staff, what she's doing. But because of that, because of her claims that she was doing these things, the judge said, well, we need to have you evaluated to determine whether you're sane, whether you're capable of defending yourself in court. And that's why she's been under federal lock and key for the last 6 months.
Yeah. So this story really bothers me. You know, again, you and I are not really on one side or the other.
No.
What we are on is the side of our Constitution, which says that she gets her day in court.
Yeah. And let me make that clear. Ms. Lindauer's politics and ours don't agree.
No.
I mean, she worked for Carol Moseley Braun, who I would consider a left-wing moonbat. But the fact is that she's been locked up by the federal government without a trial, and that just isn't supposed to happen in the United States. Now, there are some questions. You know, people who've known her for years have said she's prone to some mood swings, that her father said that she has exhibited signs of bipolar disorder in the past. But she was evaluated by an independent doctor, besides the two who were assigned by the judge in New York. And Jay Fields, to his credit, found in an envelope that Susan Lindauer apparently left behind, along with a note saying, in case I don't return. Yeah, found a copy of that medical analysis, which completely counters, I mean, it completely contradicts the findings of the judge's doctors. Basically said that she didn't need the medication that they'd put her on, and that she seemed logical and rational. Her thoughts were goal-directed.
You know, I just pray that she's fine now, because she's been in a situation where her mind could have been toyed with. I mean, she really could have difficulty stringing a cohesive sentence.
Well, and even stepping back and taking off the tinfoil hat, even if we assume, and I guess we should without evidence to the contrary, that nothing was being done that was untoward behind the scenes. As Jay Field suggested, maybe this is just a series of mistakes by people who are dealing with someone that they're not used to dealing with. She was in a facility in Fort Worth, Texas, mm-hmm. that was set up to handle people who were criminal, you know, people who'd been convicted of crimes and had mental issues. Mm-hmm. She had not been convicted.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay? let me
and
just...
That would be very stressing on somebody's state of mind and mental health.
It would be extremely stressing. Yeah. Let me say this. The state hospital where I used to work had particular buildings mm-hmm. that had nothing but criminals in them. Just because she was in a place that had criminals that were, you know, there because they had mental issues, plus they were criminals, mm-hmm. doesn't mean that you have to have a tinfoil hat on to believe that she may have some problems just being in the environment.
Exactly, exactly.
The people that I worked with, I don't believe that they were intentionally trying to, you know, slip anything by on anybody. Mm-hmm. But the fact is there are certain dynamics that take place when you go into a setting like that. You are treated
right
like everybody else.
Exactly. Exactly. And that is going to wear on your state of mind and your state of mental health. And she's got that hearing coming up next week to determine whether she's going to be incarcerated indefinitely mm-hmm. and forcibly medicated.
Yeah.
So
we're just going to have to, you know, we'll let you know what's going on with that. But visit Jay's blog because you could find out before we do.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's also got an interesting note in there about a letter that he apparently got from the public defender in New York, who is not too happy that he posted the scanned copy of her medical analysis.
Well, good for him.
Yep. Like I said, we need to rent somebody and the spot in the bunker to somebody like Jay Fields, just in case. Well,
sign out.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, speaking of signs, I just want to rant. I'm going to rant here for a minute.
Feel
about
free.
Something that happened this afternoon, and I say, thank you, dogs, for alerting me to the fact that there was something odd about this person. A very nice-looking young woman came to our door this afternoon, and the dogs went with me, and, of course, they were going nuts, and I had to take them away from the door to put them on the back porch just mm-hmm. to speak with her.
Now that's a little unusual because Murphy usually responds pretty favorably towards women. He usually
very much so. He goes out and he wants to visit. No,
he gets aggressive with men, but not with women usually.
He's very upset. Yeah. Now, she had what appeared to be legal papers or something in her hand, a little clipboard, and I thought, okay, she's signing people up or whatever. No, or she's selling something. A lot of times we'll get moms going around and their kids, you know. Anyway, she wanted me to sign a petition saying that I was against eminent domain here in Missouri, and I would like to see a constitutional amendment on the ballot for the fall to allow us to vote against eminent domain, that mm-hmm. we don't like it. I thought this is a great idea. I said, you know, we know some local people who are very involved in this. My husband's been to a few meetings. I haven't heard anything about this petition.
I'm on their email list.
Yeah,
I would have heard something about
too.
It.
Mm-hmm. I said, I've not heard anything about this. Well, it was in the paper this morning. I said, really? Well, I haven't read today's paper. But anyway, make the long story short, I was very suspicious just from that. But she said something about, oh, your dogs are so cute. I left mine back in Spokane. And I said,
yeah.
Spokane, Washington, did you just move here? No, I just was hired to come in and help with this petition drive.
Uh-huh. Immediately that says this is not a grassroots movement.
Yep, yeah, exactly. This is not a Missouri movement. Why mm-hmm. on earth? And she was being paid to do it. She was not a volunteer.
Mm-hmm.
She said, well, they're paying me to. And I thought, bless your heart for saying that and being honest about that.
Right.
Because I'm betting you're not supposed to say that. I said no. She was polite. She left the door. Her handler, somewhat mm-hmm. gentleman, came and instructed her as to where to go next.
Mm-hmm.
There was no car. She had clearly been dropped off somewhere
right.
around the corner.
Bust in, yeah.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
exactly. So I came in and I did a little research and I found out that this so-called Missouri grassroots group is actually backed by a gentleman from New York.
Hmm. That's interesting. Now, that's not the kind of thing that goes over too well out here in these parts.
Not really.
Where the New York Mets. New York Mets out here are still called pond scum. It's the New York pond scum out here in St. Louis. And it's been a long time since the Mets were, you know, in the same division with the Cardinals.
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, this organization has raised Missourians for Change, which is supposed to be grassroots, has raised $295,801 or something like mm-hmm. that. $295,000 of that, all but about $800, came from one donor.
One guy.
This New Yorker mm-hmm. named Howard Rich.
Howard Rich.
And he is rich.
Obviously. Now, $295,000 buys you a house about like ours out in New York, but in this part of the country, that's some money. That's
real
money.
What's interesting is when I first moved out here, you were using Rich's Kramer.
That's right,
Coffee
I was.
Kramer, yes,
yeah,
you were.
And that's his company, isn't it?
It is.
How about that?
How about that? Well, anyway, why is Howard Rich so interested in Missouri politics?
And in Missouri zoning law and whether or not eminent domain is used out here in the state of Missouri.
Right.
Why
to
is he not?
That he is paying to bring in people from Spokane, Washington.
The opposite side of the country.
Uh-huh.
That's a really good question. He's a businessman. He's an entrepreneur. And we've done a little research into Mr. Rich's background and found that he sits on the board of several pretty well-known organizations. He's the president of a group that is in favor of pushing term limits.
Mm-hmm.
U.S. Term Limits is the name of the organization.
Sounds good.
Yeah, which incidentally is not headquartered in New York where he lives, but in Glenview, Illinois, which is north of Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
So he's also one of the board of directors, or at least was, of the Cato Institute,
mm-hmm.
which is an allegedly libertarian organization based out of Washington, mm-hmm. D.C. Now, we say allegedly libertarian because the Cato Institute's funding comes from donors that look like a who's who of American business.
Oh, yeah.
ExxonMobil, R.J. Reynolds, you know, lots of
Philip
big money
Morris,
groups. Philip Morris.
Eli Lilly.
Yeah.
Merck.
Mm-hmm. A lot of companies that would benefit from less government regulation into their business.
Mm-hmm.
However, they don't seem to have a problem with government regulations that require the use of their products.
Right.
Like, you know, you got to have your children not only vaccinated, but, gee, let's have the president's, you know, advisory panel issue a recommendation that all children have to be screened for mental health.
Exactly.
And perhaps medicated, whether their parents want it or not. And the number of, you know, the CDC recommending, you know, increases in the number of required or recommended vaccines
mm-hmm.
for their children.
Well, let me
over
just continue with
now.
The
Sorry,
story. No, that's okay.
Yeah.
I know.
So anyway,
we're ranting.
Yeah.
You're loud.
Yeah.
The story goes on because this petition, she gave me a little half a paragraph that I could read that essentially said that we hate eminent domain.
Mm-hmm. Which, again,
apparently,
we basically
the
agree
actual,
with.
Apparently, yeah. The proposed amendment, sorry.
Yeah.
I haven't had nearly enough sugar today. Apparently, the actual proposed amendment language is much more expansive. It goes beyond eminent domain and gets into zoning issues where anyone can sue the local government
mm-hmm.
for rezoning an area. In other words, Mr. Rich
in New
could
York.
Hire local attorneys
mm-hmm.
and form another grassroots group
right.
to sue our town if they rezoned the house next door and he wanted it.
That's interesting.
I mean, it just, you have to put the old tinfoil hat on.
Yeah, so the libertarian aspect of his belief system only applies to government regulations that affect what he wants to do.
I think that's what it comes down to.
Yeah.
I really do.
As long as they help him do what he wants to do, then he's all in favor of it, it seems.
Now, and I will say this. On the other side of the coin, most people are like that. It's, you know, not in my backyard.
Yeah, sure, right.
Okay, mm-hmm. do whatever you want as long as it doesn't affect me. And actually, that's very libertarian.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want anybody to muck around in my personal business.
Right. What you do is okay as long as you keep it over there.
But when the way you achieve that is to muck around in other people's personal business,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think that's just unfair.
That's wrong. Well, so our question is, what is Howard Rich up to? What's the name of the group again? Missourians?
Missourians for Change, I think, is the name of it.
Yeah. And what is this organization trying to accomplish? And is he funding other similar movements in other states?
That is a very good question. Apparently, I don't know if he was involved in one in Colorado, but Colorado did try this.
So
apparently it's not going very well.
Yeah, it's kind of a hot button issue, or it should be. And now I know it is in our town because we had a case here just a few years ago where our local government published to the internet a revision of its 20-year plan, which is something that the city government is required to put out there. It's sort of a guideline as to how the city intends to grow.
Mm-hmm.
It's not hard and fast, but it does show potential developers where the city wants to concentrate its resources. So if you're looking to come in and buy some land, you know where the city is likely to be agreeable to a new, say,
right.
Car dealership, as opposed to, you know, wanting to keep it for residential or parkland or something like that. this proposed plan for our area took a big chunk of our neighborhood way back from the main street that's a block south of us. In fact, it would have been, you know, right up to the other side of our street, taking out a lot of homes in their proposed 20-year plan for commercial development. Well, that got everybody up in arms, and thanks to the power of the ballot box and the threat of losing their jobs, the city alderman and the mayor backed down. And the two aldermen that we had at the time did, in fact, get voted out in the next election. So, and that's the way it's supposed to work.
Exactly.
That's the way it's supposed to work. The power is supposed to stay at the local level. That was the way the framers of the Constitution intended the United States to operate. Power was supposed to be decentralized so that no one man, no tyrant could consolidate power over everybody
in
his own hands.
And then you've got a group like the Cato Institute that is supposed to be a think tank.
Right.
When really it is just a big organization that, frankly, helps big business get their way.
Right. And that may not have been
regulated, so we're going to put a lot of money in it.
Right.
Throw a bunch of money at it.
It may not have been the way.
Missourians in charge.
Missourians in charge. Okay. So here we've got a group that is coming in and professing to be champions of libertarianism and passing itself off as a grassroots movement. Missourians in charge. Mm-hmm. Now, I doubt that they'd get very far if they would come to your door, ring the bell, and say, "Hi, we're from New Yorkers in charge, and we'd like you to sign it. Get out."
Well, again,
that's what would happen.
Bless her heart. I don't know if she was yelled at, if she said, "Yes, I said something about being from Spokane." Because as you and I have talked before, there are lots of times, and you guys have probably all had this happen if you're home during the day, someone shows up and says, "Hi, I'm working my way through
high school,
or I'm trying to earn this
summer camp
award," or whatever it is. And my question is always, "Oh, where do you go to school?" And if they can't tell me the name of the school team, and, you know, just a few details about the local school they claim they're from, they're told to leave my door.
Yeah, that's. I think that's wise, because it is a very profitable business where kids will go out and solicit magazine subscriptions like that. You know, they'll take them out in vans and drop them off, go canvas a neighborhood.
Yeah.
I saw that young lady walking away as I was pulling up to the house, carrying a number of those petitions clipboards under her arm.
I felt sorry for her because she's come a long way if she does come from Spokane. And she clearly was a little flustered. She could hardly believe I wasn't signing it.
Yeah. Well, it's an issue that most people would agree with, because none of us want to have happen to us what happened to the folks in the Kelo decision, where somebody like... I think ironically it was a drug company up there that wanted the land of those homeowners for a new office development with their new office as the centerpiece. Nobody wants that to happen in their neighborhood. But why is this movement being pushed in Missouri by a rich guy who lives in Soho?
Right.
That doesn't jive. And so we're going to do more research on that and find out what that's all about.
Right. So if you've got something like that going on in your state, let us know. Well, honey, what are you going to rant about for a few minutes?
Monday,
Mayday, Mayday,
Beltane, Walpurgisnacht.
Yes.
We got a lot of talk about Monday. A year ago, we did a program that dealt with Beltane and dealt with Walpurgisnacht and Wicker Man, Burning Man, and all that other fun stuff. So we're not going to talk too much about that tonight. That has a lot of issues and occult significance.
It goes way back to Sumeria and to Babylon.
Yep.
You get the Inanna. You know,
the Musi myth, which is
so much. The maypole thing, that is just a big phallus.
Yes.
Sorry, folks, that's a big phallus.
It's what it is.
The red and white ribbons that they are supposed to be red and white. That's indicative of blood and purity.
Yeah. It's, and it's the kind of thing that most people think maypole is just a spring festival, thing.
When I was a kid in school, we danced around the maypole.
Yeah.
I thought it was cool.
Yeah, well,
I mean, when I was in the first grade,
it's not the wholesome entertainment that we thought it was. It takes on a whole new significance when you look at it with an eye to the symbolism.
It really does.
But on a practical level, or on a more grassroots level, because this isn't grassroots either. There are forces that are supplying the money.
Absolutely.
And the organization behind this. On Monday, and we talked about this before, people who oppose immigration reform in the United States are supposed to take to the streets. Latino activists, for the most part. Again, as we've talked with the Collins brothers, and as they've disclosed through their research, these movements are being funded by some pretty well-heeled Anglo backers, like the Ford Foundation, for one. What is surprising to me, and in this last set of demonstrations that we had a couple of weeks ago, by the way, where we had, you know, millions of people on
the
streets.
That was a teaser.
That was just a teaser for what's supposed to be coming. I think that was a test run.
I think so, too.
Spanish language media was actively involved in that, and I don't doubt that this weekend they're going to be talking it up again. In fact, tonight, just about 2 hours ago, they were supposed to play a brand new version, a Spanish language version of the national anthem, which is, what do they call it now? It's Nuestro Himno.
Our anthem.
Yeah, our anthem. I just wonder if we as Americans were to get the English language speaking community in Paris to work on an English language version of the French national anthem, La Marseillaise, and I'm 8 years of French and I can't pronounce it. How well do you suspect the average Frenchman would take to that, take to our demands that we get, that we have the French government recognize an English language version of it as a way of showing our patriotism?
I don't think they'd take it too well. At all, unless, of course, we all dressed up as Jerry Lewis.
Possibly. Or mimes. So anyway, they've got that. That was, again, just another way that the Spanish language media was going to work to build unity, I guess, as they work towards this walkout on Monday. What really shocked me, though, was seeing that the state Senate in California, the People's Republic of California, voted by a 24-13 vote, split along party lines, to support what they're calling the Great American Boycott 2006 on Monday.
They're boycotting America, folks.
Yeah. Hello?
Americans boycotting. They're boycotting America.
Yeah. This really, I'll tell you what. I'm calling on all of my cousins because I've got a number of them that live in California. Get out. Get out now while you can. Come back to the Midwest where you belong.
Get out of Aztlán. I mean, seriously, there is a movement, if you're not aware of it, the Aztlán movement, A-Z-T-L-A-N, that believes that the Southwest United States is not ours. It is a country called Aztlán.
And when you look at the demographic breakdown of the southwestern quarter of the United States, everything from Texas over to, you know, Oregon, practically, it is, in many places, more than 50% Mexican or Latino. Now, as we've said before, we don't have a problem with people who want to cross the border, who want to come into the United States to make a better life for themselves.
No, not at all.
But the fact is that people who've come into the country illegally have broken the law and should be treated as such. And they should be sent home. I mean, frankly, that's this whole concept that they're just here doing jobs Americans won't do is bogus. They're here doing jobs Americans won't do for $3 an hour. That's what it boils down
to. Well, let me tell you this. Over here, if you cross the border and you manage to make it in, there's a good chance that you're not only going to be able to stay here indefinitely, but you may have access to certain privileges that citizens only should have.
Right.
One of those is a driver's license.
Yeah.
Or some states.
The right to vote.
Right to vote. There's so many things. Public services, public assistance. There's so many things that they, it's, again, these are wonderful people, and as Christians, we believe in reaching out to.
Right.
But there are certain rules. And we believe as Christians, render to Caesar that which is Caesar's, and that means that you obey the laws. If you and I were to travel over to Scotland, and you and I would love to live in Scotland someday. Of course, they're ate up as far as their law. But if we went over there and we visited Scotland, quote unquote, and stayed. The first time one of us got sick, do you really think that they would take care of us? No. I tell you what, I was over there back in the 80s, a long time ago. And I doubt that things have changed. The National Health Care Service, you are assigned a doctor. We could not get anyone to look at us. We were sick when we were over there. Several of us were sick and very, very sick. And the only reason we were even looked at was because a doctor in a local congregation where we sang, I was over there with a gospel group, took care of us on the sly. He wasn't supposed to. He couldn't write us a prescription. Mm-hmm. He simply said, go get this at the local chemist shop, the local drugstore. Mm-hmm. You can't get any public services over right. there unless you are a citizen. And you can't become a citizen unless you do it legally. Mm-hmm. It should be that way here.
It should be that way here. I suggest that the U.S. citizens, especially Anglo citizens who... You know, from their compassion for these people, and I respect that, feel that we owe them the opportunity to become citizens here without benefit, without going through the process of law, which, we'll say again, should be streamlined for people who truly want to become citizens. Mm-hmm. Try sneaking into Mexico and see what happens when you get into Mexican territory.
Huh.
Try sneaking over there and taking advantage of Mexican services. Personally, I think what ought to be done is that American companies that do business in Mexico should be bound to pay the same. They should be bound by the same minimum wage laws that we are that they're bound to here in the United States. Mm-hmm. They should be bound by the same environmental laws. Mm-hmm. They should be bound by the same labor laws. And they should basically what I'm saying is we should be working to fix Mexico instead of just bringing Mexico here.
I so agree with you. And here's what I think we should do. You and I talked about this earlier. We should all boycott Mexico. That does not necessarily mean, you know, you and I even talked
right,
about this,
right.
Boycotting Mexican restaurants and things like that.
Yeah.
Most of those are owned by Anglo big companies.
Right, exactly.
No, that isn't
yeah.
going to help.
Uh-uh.
That means everybody who's planning a vacation down in Mexico, don't go.
Yeah.
Go to Hawaii. Go to Jamaica. Go to Puerto Rico. They need the money.
Yeah. Go to Daytona. Go to, you know, somewhere in Texas. I mean, there are beaches in Texas that are,
right.
are just as well. Yeah. But don't go to Mexico. The problem is that there's a lot of money that goes to Mexico through back channel means. And there are a lot of people who are not going to stop their habits, whatever they are.
I know.
Black market.
I know, but I do think that a lot of cities down there make their money on tourists, and I think
yes,
that
yep.
if tourists simply said no,
yeah,
heck no, we won't go,
mm-hmm.
and I think eventually Vicente Fox would have to take a hard look at it.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I'm just being Pollyanna here. But.
Well, it seems like about the only thing we can do. Now, the fact is that people who are in our tax bracket aren't likely to be traveling to Mexico on a pretty regular basis anyway. So
no.
I don't know how much impact
Mexico,
that's really
Missouri.
Going to have. Mexico, Missouri, we might travel to.
We could go there.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's interesting. We can go to California, to Mexico,
yeah.
without ever leaving our own state.
Oh, there are a bunch of them yeah. in the state.
We can even go to Peru.
It's an international
yeah.
state.
Yeah.
The state of Missouri.
Didn't know that about Missouri, did you? But Cinco de Mayo is coming up on the 5th of May. And isn't it interesting that they chose May 1st
oh,
to protest instead
choosing,
of Cinco de Mayo?
Exactly. They're not choosing
yeah.
a day when everybody celebrates Mexican stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, we shall see what happens there. And it really is aggravating that there are some genuinely good-hearted people who are saying, you know, we don't really need to pay attention to these laws. I mean, there are a lot of religious leaders who are backing this deal. Even the president of the United States privately, according to a story published by the Associated Press today, actually a couple of days ago, President Bush says, personally, he favors plans to give millions of illegal immigrants a chance at citizenship without having to leave the country first.
Yeah.
But he doesn't want to say so publicly because of opposition among conservative members of the House of Representatives.
Hmm.
Yeah. This is according to senators that were at a recent meeting. Again, that really teased me off because this is a guy who was elected with help from people who would identify themselves, a lot of people who would identify themselves as evangelical Christians.
Yeah.
And you and I would identify ourselves as evangelical Christians.
Uh-huh. Yes, we would.
Yeah. So we're getting blamed. But I think the thing that a lot of Christians need to understand is that this is a party, the Republican Party leadership. This is a president who does not represent us. He is not conservative. In addition to his stand on immigration, which is basically let's just make a public show of closing off the border and defending the border while privately doing what we can to make it easier for illegals to stay. As we mentioned before, under the president's administration, discretionary non-military spending non-military spending has increased faster than under any president since JFK, including Lyndon Johnson, who usually gets blamed for really getting the ball rolling on the big deficits that we've got today. Not true. Non-military discretionary spending has increased faster under Bush than under any president, Republican or Democrat, in the last 40 years.
That's right.
Big government. That's not what Republicans were supposedly all about. And certainly that's not what the majority of evangelical Christians would say that they're about. I mean, hey, being a Christian means you've got to be accountable, right? Mm-hmm. It means personal responsibility. Libertarianism. That's what Christians should stand for.
That is so true.
Yeah.
It's like Amen. Hey, preach it, brother.
So, anyway.
Well, I got one more rant in the, with regard to this whole thing, and that there is a spot on the web with a certain broadcaster. And I'm not, I don't even know if I should necessarily say who it is, but we did find a site where a certain very racist broadcaster is claiming, and we can't verify this at all because we went to the Aslan website and we couldn't find anything on there regarding it. Of course, we didn't look at every page. He's claiming that Aslan has announced that they have been told that European people are coming in too with guns on May 1st, and they plan on using those guns against Aslan members. Again, I can't find anything to back that up, and this is a very racist person who says this.
Right.
Who claims that this has been, that Aslan is claiming this. All you have to do when you've got a situation like the May 1st boycott, which is a tinderbox, is just get a little spark to get it going. And a statement like this, a webpage claiming something like this, is could be all the little spark you need, because he, what he's saying that they're telling their people is to arm themselves.
Right.
Now, if you're a devotee of this particular radio show and you believe in this racist drivel, then you're thinking, they're arming themselves, so I better arm myself too.
Exactly.
Suddenly you've got people on both sides that are waiting for the first shot.
Right. And that's the reason that Sharon brings this up. She wanted to make it clear, you know, that we don't consider this to be a reliable source necessarily, because
he's got
a dog in this hunt.
He does.
But the point is that if he's making this statement to an audience that's predisposed to hearing this kind of message, which is, they're arming themselves because they think we're arming ourselves, so we better arm ourselves. There, you're right. There is a fire out there that is, there's tinder out there that's being doused with gasoline.
Yes.
We talked about this when during the first round of protests, that all it's going to take is one idiot or a group of idiots on either side to ignite some very rough stuff. And with the number of people that are in the street and the tensions, the emotions that are running real high, I wouldn't be surprised. Well, let me finish my point first. With tensions running real high, it's not going to take a lot to get things started. Now, I wouldn't be surprised if the first round of protests, which we, as we talked about, it was a test run, not just from the standpoint of organizing and seeing whether they could mobilize a lot of people to the streets, but to gauge the reaction of Americans to the protests.
Yes.
Let's see how angry this makes people to see if this is a way we can really get things going.
Oh,
we can really stir things up.
They didn't get mad enough. Let's try it bigger.
Let's try it bigger.
Because there's money behind this. Mm-hmm. Someone is spending a lot of money to get this going. You know, and we talked about May 1st. Of course, this is when it's happening. That's also, as we said, Beltane. This is an occult holiday.
Right.
This is happening at a time when we're just at the tail end of a new moon, which in occult circles is a very powerful time. It's during a time when that new moon is in Taurus. Now, I don't go for astrology in the sense that I don't look at my horoscope, but I believe that those who practice the occult take a look at the stars, and they believe that those signs and portents in the heavens are very important. Taurus, of course, is the bull, which is Bel of Beltane. We're talking about Baal.
Baal.
And fallen angels and spiritual warfare that's going on over this day. And blood is a huge deal on that day. That's like I said, that red and the red and white ribbons that go around that maypole, that's blood.
That's what it symbolizes. Right.
A bloodbath on that day would be very pleasing to those supernatural forces.
That's right.
Now, I'm not saying that that's going to happen, but I have to say be really careful. I honestly said to you a little while ago, honey, I wish you would stay home on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly said that.
You know, if we lived in an area where there was a larger population, a larger Mexican population, I would consider it. I would consider it.
And mind you, we are not saying that we think that Mexican people are going to be dangerous. We think the whites are just as dangerous who are going to be out and possibly opposing this.
Right.
This is setting up. It's like that Star Trek episode that we've referred to so many times, mm-hmm. where the entity, this energy alien, came in and set up a situation mm-hmm. where two sides hated each other and fed off
the hatred.
The hatred. Mm-hmm. It's like the supernatural forces that are behind this, and mm-hmm. this is a high holiday. Excuse me for hitting the mic. High holiday for those forces. Plus May Day.
Mm-hmm.
Now 9/11 was easy to say, because we all dial 911.
Right.
May Day also means help. That's mm-hmm. a big, you know, it would play well in the press.
It would. It would be
the
easy.
May Day riots.
Exactly. Yeah. You're right on the money. And as if tensions weren't high enough, WorldNet Daily is carrying a story today that says that Muslim activists now are planning to take to the streets on Monday. You know, come on now. Is that not inflammatory?
It really is. And I hate to say this, but when we've said it before, WorldNet Daily is beating the drums.
And WorldNet Daily is very definitely a neocon.
Yeah,
site.
And that's why you don't see us quote very often on Watcher Magazine. It has to be something that I think is really important.
Mm-hmm. Something that we can document from other sources
exactly.
as well.
Exactly.
They do have good authors and good columnists there.
They really do.
Jack Cashel, for example, the guy who's done all the research into the shooting down of TWA Flight mm-hmm. 800 some years ago. But anyway, WorldNet Daily is got this article out there, which we mentioned because it's inflammatory and because the addition of the Council of an American Islamic Relations, CARE, mm-hmm. which has ties, some of its members in the past have been linked to terrorist organizations, mm-hmm. coming out and saying, we're going to show solidarity with, you know, the immigrants who will take to the streets on Monday. It is bound to get Americans angry, mm-hmm. average Americans, but more than that, it is going to get those white supremacists, like the radio host, whose name we're not going to use, and his followers really angry. So our point is, it's not the people who genuinely believe in justice for the downtrodden who are the ones we're concerned about and who we're talking about. There are people on both sides who intend to use this for their own purposes.
Well, here's an example. Here's a corporate example. Cargill,
mm-hmm.
which is a huge beef processing company.
Right.
They are letting off the employees of all of their factories. They're all being given Monday off.
Hmm. Very interesting.
Now, I do not think that the percentage of the high percentage of their workers are of Mexican descent. I'm betting most of them are, you know, middle class Americans.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have to ask myself, because the quote from the story said that the Cargill representative said that their workers were agitated and they didn't think that they would be able to focus on Monday.
Mm.
So they're giving them the day off. Now, mind you, they have to work Saturday to make up for it.
Yeah.
But the union agreed to this.
Yeah.
The company got together with the union. I just find that so interesting. And here's another thing. Feels like a left turn, but it's really not.
Okay.
May 2nd in Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
The Illinois National Guard has a terror drill scheduled.
Mm-hmm. That is very interesting. And that is one that we mentioned. Well, we've not mentioned. This is one that that Captain Eric May, who has almost been a voice crying in the wilderness.
He has.
And, you know, frankly, I'm not always sure how to take Captain May.
No, neither am I.
But he has warned of potential terror drills that or terror events, mm-hmm. nuclear events mm-hmm. that were targeting Texas City, Texas, mm-hmm. based on analysis of information that he was picking up, intelligence that he was picking up from various sources. He is the leader of a cyber intelligence group that he calls Ghost Troop, which is a reference to people, soldiers who were killed in the Battle of Baghdad when we went into Baghdad. The number of dead, according to Captain May, is a lot higher than what the media has ever let on. The number of American soldiers killed in Baghdad by Iraqis mm-hmm. was a lot higher. In fact, he claims that we used a neutron bomb during the attack on Baghdad back in 2003 because situation at the airport was very desperate, much more so than was ever let on by the American press. Now, he's made it his mission, and there are a group of volunteers that help him out through his Yahoo group site to keep tabs on what's happening out there. And he has warned local authorities, doesn't care what people think about him because he stepped out and publicly, you know, castigated through letters to the editor and so forth when they get printed, members of the of law enforcement and members of the media that refuse to pay attention to what he's saying. You know, people like that can be a real fly in the ointment. So again, we don't always know how to take him, but this is something he's been talking about, and I give him credit for I mean, his background is legit, you know, mm-hmm. former Army intelligence.
Absolutely.
And he's a well-educated man, so he's got some smarts. And so he has talked about this this terror drill that is taking place in Chicago May 2nd,
and
3rd,
is,
and 4th.
It definitely, there's a link in the story on Watcher. It says here, this actually came from a site called LoneLantern.org.
Right.
But in this body of the story, I link back to the Illinois National Guard website, mm-hmm. where they have the press release. So
right.
you know that they really are doing this terror
yeah.
drill.
And this is important, at least from this standpoint. At least from this standpoint. There were terror drills that were taking place in New York City on 9/11 of 2001 and in London on 7/7 of 2004.
And there was a Navy drill going on when Flight 800 went down.
That's right. I'd forgotten about mm-hmm. that. When Flight 800 went down, there was a naval exercise taking place off the coast of New York.
Mm-hmm.
So there will be National Guard units on assignment in Chicago during the during next week, May 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. And so we will keep our eyes on that situation
as well. What's interesting about this drill, not just the timing, but also it's three parts. The first part is a response to a pandemic spreading throughout Chicago. The second part is a dirty bomb attack. And the third is the dirty bomb collapses a building.
Mm-hmm. Captain May has indicated that this may be a target at the Sears Tower, which is something that he's predicted some time back. And this could be something that falls into the scenario that he's predicted. So we'll put a link to... put a link to the article, put a link to the website, and put a link to Captain May's website so that you can take a look at his information and judge for yourself. Just as it seems that things are breaking down here in the United States, the Middle East is suffering a meltdown as well, something that really isn't getting a lot of attention here because, well, frankly, we're Americans. We don't pay much attention to what happens outside our borders if it doesn't involve Angelina Jolie or Brad Pitt. Lebanon. Let's start there. Situation in Lebanon looked for a while like it was going to lead to an attack on Syria.
Yes,
for a while, the drums of war were beating against mm-hmm. Syria. Mm-hmm. If you haven't noticed, there hasn't been much said about Syria for the last couple of months.
No, in fact, the whole Hariri trial that disappeared.
It disappeared, and according to Debka, the politician. I've lost my place in the story here. The Lebanese Prime Minister, Fouad Siniora, was a recent guest of the president at the White House, and he found to his shock that the United States no longer appears interested in pursuing Syria and its connection to the assassination of Lebanese politician Rafiq Hariri. They no longer seem interested in getting rid of the Lebanese president, Lahoud, who is the brother of Emil Lahoud. And we're not interested in disarming Hezbollah or disbanding the Palestinian militias operating in southern Lebanon.
That's very odd.
Yeah. Basically, the Lebanese prime minister said to a colleague, as they left the White House, "We are back to square one. We are left with the ruins of the American-French initiative," end quote. So what's happening? The United States and France are no longer interested in enforcing a UN directive, a UN initiative to impose order on Lebanon and to basically end Syrian influence over Lebanon. The Lebanese government isn't yet strong enough to assert its control over the country. And so what's happening is the regrouping of militias that had disbanded that had disbanded, thinking that the United States and Europeans were coming in force to impose order. Mm-hmm. For safety's sake, Christians, Muslims are regrouping. And of course, Muslims, when we say that, that's it means Shia over here, Sunni over there, are regrouping into the kind of factions that they had during the 70s when Lebanon was embroiled in civil war. So we may see these militias moving in to fill the power vacuum that is apparently being left behind. And of course, Syria is still sitting right next door and happy to move back in and take control once again.
Oh, they really will. Well, yeah. The interesting thing, don't forget, and we're going to be talking about prophecy, scriptural prophecy, all next month, in the month of May. There is a prophecy called the Burden of Damascus. And God says that Damascus will cease to be, period.
Yep. And in fact, that's one of the things that we wrote into the series of novels that we were working on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Lebanon, I mean, Damascus just being totally rubbed out.
Yep.
In addition, things are really breaking down in the Palestinian territories as we move south into Israel. Mahmoud Abbas, we talked about the other day, seems to be getting respect only from other foreign leaders. Now, apparently, behind the scenes, the United States and England are financing a personal bodyguard for Mahmoud Abbas. Apparently, it's been decided in London and Washington that we need to prop him up, that we need to keep him in power. And so we are financing a new Palestinian militia based around the old Force 17 bodyguard that Yasser Arafat used to keep himself safe.
Of course, Arafat was just a puppet of Europe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they supplied his money, and of course, a lot of which was in European banks. The new Hamas government in Palestine has basically set up its own security force of about 3,500 men. And in order to counter that, the U.S. and the U.K. have told Abbas that he would have the money that he needed and the training that he needed from our secret agents, MI6, or is it 5? MI6. And the CIA to train new security forces. And so those... that maneuvering is going on behind the scenes right now, too. Basically, they're setting up a compound with about a 1,000-foot sterile zone around the Abbas home in Ramallah. Is it Ramallah? Somewhere in the West Bank, wherever he's based. But anyway, we are apparently taking an interest in keeping Abbas in power and keeping him safe.
Well, when you hear things like this, we want you to think outside of what's going on geopolitically. We want you to think spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
So this appears to be some sort of political chess game, but in fact, it's a much bigger game than that.
Right. We're only seeing the shadows.
No, we really are. You know, we've talked about books and movies and things like that, and there's a book by Stephen King, an old one called The Stand, that I think is really, really interesting, and it came to mind with me just now because The Stand is essentially, this is King's view of what happens supernaturally.
Mm-hmm.
He sees it as a chess game between God and the devil.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is, in some ways, a way to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
But the cool thing that maybe King doesn't realize is that we know God wins. Mm-hmm. And so it's not really a contest. The interesting thing, though, is that King may have an insight into the fact that Satan seems to think he might be able to win.
Right.
So there really is a battle going on. So when you look at these things, try to think, okay, what supernatural behind-the-scenes activities might be leading to this?
Mm-hmm.
What, in other words, don't just blame the country heads. Don't blame Bush, even though we don't like Bush. There are probably demonic forces behind his decisions.
Pushing buttons, that's right. Speaking of supernatural forces that may be at work here, we should probably touch on this story because we talked about this with Peter Goodgame, and it's really a fascinating to speculate about. There was a press release that we were sent yesterday about a group that did some ground-penetrating radar scans of the area on the of the Giza Plateau.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't said what they found, and I gathered from the release.
I don't think they're going to say until they have their seminar.
Yeah, they're trying
June.
To build it up. There's a seminar that they're publishing or promoting, rather, June 11th.
Well, I guess it's actually a conference, not a seminar. They're not. You don't get to go and learn it's a bunch of experts that are getting together to share their work with each other.
Right, right. June 11th, 2006 in the town of Wrocław in Poland. But and I gathered from the press release there was an excerpt from an interview there that they don't even know yet what they found or whether they found anything. So, but the hint or the implication is that there's something there to be found that mm-hmm. is of great significance, which is the whole point of the Stargate conspiracy, the whole point of Peter Goodgame's mm-hmm. research, and what he believes that they're looking for is the actual tomb of Osiris.
Well, what's the name of the conference? That's what I think is so interesting. This international
yes.
conference is called Saving the Earth Project, Awakening the Pharaoh Excavations. Awakening the Pharaoh?
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what Peter Goodgame speculated about in his book, which is available online, The Giza Discovery. That the pharaoh that they're talking about is, in fact, Osiris.
A.K.A.
Who, yeah, he identifies as the biblical Nimrod, the great rebel who built the Tower of Babel, or tried to build the Tower of Babel. So, could be very interesting. We'll keep an eye on that. We sent the copy of the release to Peter, and we'll hope to get his take on that
yeah,
as
we're,
Prophecy Month.
We've sent him an email. We're trying to get him for Prophecy Month, but we'll have to see how his schedule works out. Well, we have blathered and blathered and ranted and grumbled, and I think we're just going to have to say goodbye for the weekend. And no, our prayer is that you get to hear this at all.
Yeah, we've been having trouble with the upload speed, so we will begin this process now. And if it takes all night, we'll get it up there. But fortunately, we've got the weekend, so if you don't get it till Sunday night, you'll still have time to listen before Monday.
And we can get out the old analog computer and just do it by hand.
That's right.
That's where you write it out on paper, get on a horse, and ride it out
ride
to everybody.
Around. Yeah. Well, we start Prophecy Month next week with Russ Dizdar. We will talk about some of the things that he's doing. He's keeping an eye on events in Pennsylvania, which have just really been strange, especially for Amish country, which you'd think would just be very sleepy and pastoral, scenic.
Exactly. And lest you think, what does this have to do with prophecy as we reach the end times? Trust me, it's heating up. This spiritual battle is definitely mm-hmm. heating up. And Russ Dizdar is on the front lines.
He really is. So he'll talk about the Black Awakening, which is a concept that he has heard from a number of these multiple personalities that he's worked with, people who are essentially sleeper agents, but mm-hmm. demonic sleeper agents. Imagine, if you will, Manchurian Candidate with the alternate personality controlled by a demonic entity.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he has encountered, and that's what he's working with. And we'll talk about how that plays into end time prophecy. As the Black Awakening, under the name The Black Awakening, when we talk with Russ next week.
So, up until then, we want everybody to have a great weekend. And if you want to send us a little note, we'd love it. Send it to radio@peeringintodarkness.com.
Don't forget, the forum is always open. Just bring a cup of coffee, log in, and share ideas, ask questions, and pontificate if you so desire,
coffee.
As long as it's done with gentleness and respect.
Gentleness and
yes.
respect.
Peering
always
into
try
darkness.
To imagine being across the table from somebody.
Yeah, yeah.
Without spilling coffee on them or throwing donuts.
Or throwing coffee on them.
You can
yes.
throw donuts at me, though.
That would be perfectly all right. Peeringintodarkness.com/forum. And as always, the show notes and links to the articles we discuss are at the PID Radio website, PIDradio.com.
Well, folks, until Monday, when I hope that we will pray that we will be on again, because they're coming to fix us on Monday. Probably they'll get here and say, nope, we're just going to have to shoot it.
Yeah. Well, until then, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Bye-bye.
Gonna step up to the microphone. Say it loud.